So before we get to our sermon this morning, let's affirm our faith together by reciting the Apostles' Creed, which is on the screen here. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So, how many of you have a hard time telling people where you're from? You know, I may be in a different boat than everybody else because I moved around quite a bit. My dad, as he was promoted through the company that he worked for, we would move. And so I can list off everywhere I lived, but it would become kind of exhaustive and hard to follow. But that to say, I've lived in a lot of places. There are very few people that could probably say that they were born and raised in Falcon, Colorado. And I would be willing to bet that most of you, if I asked you, were you from Falcon, Colorado from the beginning? Let's just do a raise of hands. How many of you are originally from Falcon, Colorado? Wow. See? We're all from different places. I would say I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I lived there from the time I was in fifth grade until I was a junior in high school. Right? But that's it. But that's where I'm from. That's where I would say I'm from. You might say you're from New York. You might say you're from Texas. My brother lived in Texas for 2 years. There's a lot of state pride there. And so he became a cowboy, and he was only there for 2 years, right? Right. South Carolina has a lot of state pride, and we've noticed that when we travel and go places. You know, I lived in South Carolina for a while, but you can always tell people who are from South Carolina and other states because they hang a flag out in front of their house, the South Carolina flag. Colorado has a lot of state pride, too. You can tell when people are from Colorado because a lot of people wear a Colorado t-shirt. But people identify themselves oftentimes from where they are from. And there seems to be some kind of draw to that as a home. And so when you tell somebody where you're from, you kind of have some kind of nostalgic tie to that place. We, as a people of God, have a home, right? We have a home. And that can be a local thing. It can be a universal thing. It can be a home in heaven when the time comes for us to be called home. But we, as a people, have a home. We have a community. And God wants us to identify with that community. So let's look now at John chapter 17, starting in verse 6. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Just as you, Father, are in me, I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I go, to see my glory that you have given me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known, that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Several times he says, I want them to be one as we are one. I want them to be one. Today, the portion of the Apostles' Creed that we're looking at is, I believe in the Catholic Church. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church and the communion of the saints. And so, what I would say is that there are people that look at that word Catholic and they aren't necessarily seeing it as it should be. Somebody last week told me that they were having a hard time saying the word Catholic as they were reciting the Apostles' Creed. Some churches go as far as to change that word to Christian. I believe in the Holy Christian Church. But what I want us to see is that we shouldn't be afraid of that word Catholic, right? The Roman Catholic Church uses Roman Catholic with a capital C. This word is a lowercase c, right? And so there is a separation between this word and the Roman Catholic Church. What this word means, it means universal. It has a connotation that the church is one in unity, right? What the creed is saying when it says, I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, is I believe in the unified church of Christ. I believe that the church, all believers who call on the name of Christ, are unified under that word, Catholic, universal. Right? So, to say that you could interchange the word Christian and Catholic is probably accurate. But I love that word, and we shouldn't be afraid to use it because it brings unity to the church. I want to say this about the Reformers. I want to talk about the Reformers. I talk about Luther, Calvin, Zwingli, guys in that specter, in that group. They never wanted to separate from the church. They never wanted to create division. They saw things that they didn't like going on within the church, and what they wanted to do was not to create their own denominations, but to fix what they saw was broken. They wanted the church to return to the scriptures as superior. They wanted the church to return to the word of God and not the word of man as revelation. So there were things going on in the church. Like, if you want to know a little bit more, you can read about the Reformation and the things that they tried to change. Martin Luther nailed his ideas on the church. He was hoping to create a debate, but he put a noose around his neck when it came to the Roman Catholic Church because he was challenging the Pope and what the Pope had decreed. One of the big things was indulgences. And what the Pope was doing at the time was he was sending people out to raise money, and to raise money, some of his people were selling salvation. They were saying, you know what, if you give me a little bit of money, you can either purchase salvation for yourself, or you can purchase salvation for a relative who might be stuck in the in-between. And that wasn't biblical, according to Scripture. So, you know, that was one of the things that Martin Luther was pushing back against. And he was saying, what we need to return to is that salvation comes through faith in Christ alone. And that is the unifying theme of the church. You can't purchase it. You can't earn it on your own. Scripture points us to the truth that faith in Christ alone is the way to salvation. As the body of Christ, we let the smallest things separate us and divide us. You know, there are a million different denominations, right? And that's one of the beautiful things, I think, about our denomination, the EPC. There's a document that you can look up online, and it's the Essentials of Our Faith is what it's called, right? And it lists out everything that is essential to being a believer in Christ. And those things should unify us. All people who call on the name of Christ would probably agree with the things that are in the Essentials. And then what our church says, our denomination says, is all those things that separate us that either aren't explicitly spelled out in Scripture or aren't important to salvation, those things we should have grace to one another. We shouldn't let those non-essentials separate us from one another. We should let the essentials unify us. And faith in Christ alone for salvation is something that we should be unified on. There are certain things that you should be willing to lay your life on the line for, and that is one of the things that we teach, the gospel. Faith in Christ alone brings salvation. And that's something that you should be willing to sacrifice everything for in your life. In verse 11 of this passage, it says, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they might be one. Even as we are one. Christ was praying that we would be unified by our faith. That we would be unified in our identity with Him as our Savior. That we would be unified in our identity that God the Father created us. He wants us to be unified just as He and the Father are one. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit united together as one God. He wants the church to be that way. He wants us to seek unity. And I will say this, full unity of the church won't happen until the return of Christ. It won't. But it's still something worth striving toward. When Christ returns, all things that are broken and shattered and fractured are going to be made whole again. All those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are a part of the body of Christ, are a part of the Catholic lowercase c church. Regardless of what label is placed on them, all those who have placed their faith in Christ as Lord and Savior and given that over to Him, they are a part of the body of Christ. If they're Methodist, if they're Presbyterian, if they're Catholic, if they are who knows? You know, Baptist. I forgot Baptist. I grew up Baptist. How did I forget Baptist? right? But yeah, all those who place their faith in Christ and Christ alone for salvation are a part of the Christian church. Then it talks about the communion of the saints. I believe in the communion of the saints. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 2, it says, Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ and our brothers and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Where Scripture refers to a saint, it's usually referring to a believer, no matter where they are. With all those who in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the saints. We are the saints. And I've talked about the Trinity, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, unified together. The saints are unified together as one, no matter how far the separation might be. And we, just as God was created to be in community, not created, God is not created, I'm sorry, don't use that word. Just as God has always existed for eternity in community as a Trinity, we are called to be a part of a community. We were created to be in community. We weren't meant to struggle in this life on our own. You know, in America, there's this thing called rugged individualism, and we're taught, you know what? You know, you pull yourselves up, you pull yourselves up by your bootstraps, you get to work, and you struggle on your own to make what you need to make, to do what you need to do. But as followers of Christ with one another, we were never meant to struggle alone. We weren't. We were called to be a part of a community, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. You know, I had a pastor that used to talk about the different ministries, and he said, you know, there's if you describe the body of Christ, there are ministries like the heart. So that would be some kind of major ministry that keeps the church alive. But he said, you know, even the little toe is significant to the church. And he called certain ministries little toe ministries, right? The body is unified in one. The body of Christ is also meant to be unified, working together to promote the gospel. And we're supposed to draw close to one another as the body. We're supposed to share a common salvation. When I talked about rugged individualism, you know, we think of salvation as a singular thing. It's something that happened for me. And it did. Jesus did save each individual person. But when he talks about salvation or his people in this passage, he's saying, I have saved them. It's them. It's you have given me a people. They are yours, but they are also mine. We have been saved together as a people of Christ, as a people of God. So again, like I said, we're not meant to struggle alone. We are a people. We are a community. We are a church. And we come together and we worship as a community, as a body of Christ. And we celebrate not just our own salvation, but the salvation of the church, the salvation of all of God's people. And he said, not just the people now, the people that he was specifically praying for in this, but he was saying for all of those in the future who pray to receive me. God, I pray for them too, because they are going to join the community. God's story isn't over. He is still saving. And he's calling people to be a part of the body of Christ. He's calling people into community. He died for his people to bring them together. Jesus Christ didn't die for us to struggle alone. He died so that when we call on his name, we become a part of his family, a part of his people, so that we can support one another, love one another, grow in faith with one another. In Hebrews 12, it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. God said in his word, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. There is a group of people who had faith. In Hebrews 11, it's called the Hall of Faith. Maybe not everybody calls it that, but you know, I've learned it as that. But it was a list of people who lived by faith in God, and their faith was testimony to people going forward. And Paul says, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Their faith informed the faith of others. Our faith can inform the faith of others. Mark DeVries is a youth pastor. Let me kind of give you a little bit of background. I was a runner. I ran cross country and track. I played soccer. I tried to play football, but I wasn't very good at it, you know. But anyway, I had friends and family that would come and cheer me on. And that was always an encouragement, right? Mark DeVries, who is this youth pastor, said, as a church, we need to create cheerleaders, a stadium of people that are willing to encourage and be cheerleaders for youth. And I don't believe that that's just for youth. It's for everybody. We are supposed to create a cheering section for our fellow Christians. Why do we do that? Well, it's to build each other up in the faith so that we can continue to run the race that God has laid before us, right? We're also a team that goes out and does the work of Christ. As a community, we can work better together than we can on our own to share the gospel with the world. He has gifted all of us to do the work of the church, to share the gospel with those that need to hear it. Locally, we are meant to join together with one another to create a crowd of witnesses for the encouragement of the body. And I think it's important to be a part of a local body of believers. It is. You know, I'm going to share a little bit about community. I'm a pastor. We have an elected board of elders, and those people are called shepherds and under-shepherds. And what does a shepherd do? Well, they look over a flock, right? So one of the things is that the under-shepherds, the shepherds, they should be able to identify who their flock is. So that when somebody goes out of that flock, they are able to bring them back in. Because safety is among numbers, right? We are called to be a part of a flock. So that we can be identified as followers of Christ. So that we can seek the safety of somebody that will guide us. And that we should be unified that Christ is our shepherd. He is the one that guides us. His word informs our faith. His word brings us back in when we stray. But being a part of the community, being a part of a fellowship of believers, I believe is one of the spiritual disciplines. As we are a part of a community, again, we are building each other up in faith. So as you look around this room, you will see people that need encouragement. I don't know what's going on in your life. There's very few of you that I know your situation right now. But others might know better than I do. And we are called to come next to those people that we know are struggling and say, I'm here for you. I'm here to walk with you as a brother or sister in Christ. I'm here to encourage you so that in this race you don't fall off the pace, that you stay in relationship with Christ. Our goal as a community, as a church, as a congregation, is to create a healthy community. Calling on the name of Christ to help us to guide each other in their spiritual growth, to encourage each other's faith. That's the task that Christ has given us. He's also given us the task to go out and to grow our community. There will be rejoicing in heaven over one who is lost who is found. There will be rejoicing in heaven. There should be rejoicing in the pews when somebody that is lost is found, because not only do we see growth in the local body, but we see growth in the lowercase c Catholic church. The universal church grows as we go out and we get to experience those coming to faith. God is working before us, but He has called us to be obedient, to go out and share the gospel so that others can hear it and respond and come and be a part of a community.